Okay, now I don't know, Janice. Do you have like a thumb drive at all? Loose. Okay. Anybody have a thumb drive here that they just happen to have along with them? I brought something that's not as doesn't contain as much information. But in fact, I chose one that says "Awesome God" on it. It's got a lot of neat a cappella music. Oh, my wife does. Thank you. By the way, if you're ever on Let's Make a Deal, you bring stuff like this because the guy at the very end might give you $100 for it. Give you $100 if you got a thumb drive. Just happen to have a thumb drive. And this, by the way, maybe some here may not be the tech savvy. I had to still look into a lot of this information on the capacity that we have within being able to store information on these things. You can't get near as much information on one of these CDs that you can, and then it depends on what it's labeled. They now have the capacity to have one of these that's got an actual terabyte. Of course, that makes sense to everybody, right? Megabytes, gigabytes, terabytes. Do you know how much information can be stored on that kind of information? Do you have any? Anyway, I don't know how much I can store on a CD. I'd have to look into it. But offhand, I couldn't tell you. This is an 8 gig, they call it thumb drive. Can you figure out why they call it a thumb drive? That was a really good one. It's also called a USB drive, but they nickname it a thumb drive. Let me just, he says, a terabyte contains 1,000 gigabytes, if I've got my math right. So a terabyte was 1,000 gigabytes. This is 8 gigabytes, by the way. A terabyte, this is only 8. A terabyte, now I thought 16 gigs was big, or 32, or 64. A terabyte is 1,000, that they can now have a thumb drive that's got 1,000 terabytes. In the end time, knowledge will be increased. People will run to and fro. I keep seeing evidence of this all the time. It's estimated that 85,899,345 pages of Word documents would fill 1 terabyte. So you can fill, if you have one of these that's a terabyte that's now available, you could put, I'll round it up, 86 million Word documents. 86 million. How do they do that? It's interesting what God has given man the capability of doing. I still remember, for some of you that might have watched the gods must be crazy. The native over in Africa was looking through a telescope. And he said something in his language, because he was looking down at a group of the guys. So he looked down at these people down there. He looked in there, and he asked the guy something. He goes, what did he say? He goes, he wants to know how all those people got in there. I mean, there is no comprehension of that design or what did that we can understand today. And I can't understand how you could get 89 million Word documents onto one of these. That's mind-blowing. Now, assuming that an average song takes up 5 megabytes, 1 terabyte could fit approximately 200,000 songs or 17,000 hours of music. You could fit approximately 500 hours worth of movies on 1 terabyte, assuming each movie is roughly 120 minutes long, that would be about 250 movies. Pictures. You could fit approximately 310,000 photos in 1 terabyte. Now I know my mother-in-law is going to be okay. They actually have enough to fit your pictures. For those that take a lot of pictures. I mean, how would you even catalog those photos? But let's take it to another example here. how many megabytes of genetic data are stored in the human body. And this one, it's a little bit confusing as you read it, but I'll give you some just some basic things and estimates here. The estimates, isn't it interesting as they estimate the number of cells in the human body? Would anybody even throw out a guess there? The estimates for the numbers of cells, this is a wide range of estimates. This just shows how much man doesn't know. The estimates for the number of cells in the human body range between 10 and 100 trillion cells. I mean, that's pretty wide. You know, I'm going to venture, I'm going to give you a guess. Guess between the number 1 and 10 million and see how close you can get. This is 10 and 100 trillion. So let's take 100 trillion cells as the generally accepted estimate. Given that each, it's called a diploid cell, contains 1.5 gigabytes of data. And it says I'm only accounting for the diploid cells and ignoring the haploid sperm and egg cells, if you even can grab onto that. The approximate amount of data stored in the human body is, and he does the math, 1.5 gigs times 100 trillion cells equals 150 trillion gigabytes, or 150 times 10 to the 12 to the 12th power times 10 to the 9th bytes equals 150 zettabytes. 150 zettabytes. Now let's try to put this in another form. Zettabytes, where that's beyond what I just mentioned here. How many megabytes of genetic data are stored in the body? This goes to the haploid cells times 750 megabytes equals 135 times 10 to the 9th megabytes equals 135,000 terabytes. 135,000 terabytes. And in other words, we're getting at numbers here that I'm glad that God's can count these. Because when you start to get into, and God says, I want you to look up and see if you can count all those stars, because I've got a name for every one of them. And I could look at a congregation, and as soon as I get in there, I can't remember anybody. And so it's a process I've got to go through from church to church, and I've determined I'm going to do the adults first, then I get to the kids, and then I get transferred. And you have to do it again. So the names aren't there, but the numbers may be. But God knows the stars, it says, by name. The capacity to even comprehend physically what God is doing can blow your mind. And yet, how many have heard that we use only 10% of our mind capacity? How many have heard that? Okay, now don't raise your hands on this one. How many believe that? Don't raise your hands, because it's been said, and I've heard this too, that we only use 10% of our brain potential, our what we can use. Well, if you believe that, then I've got some oceanfront property in Arizona. We use all of our brain. All of our brain is used. Now, sometimes when it comes to injuries or things like that, it gets short-circuited. But within the brain that God has given to us, the mind uses it all. I mean, you got electricity and things and the way God puts it together, and you can do a study on this and see it's fascinating the way God has made this. The only thing that can't be accounted for, that the scientists can't study, is what do you think that answer would be? What they can look at the brain, they can look at the frontal lobes and look at what all and call them certain things and know how it functions and know what motor functions, knows over here what this does. And it's fascinating when they come to these conclusions on how it's done. Anytime you look into this and say there's no God, you're a fool. When you look into the complexity of the brain itself and see that they take up these parts and the learning centers and the speech centers, and just so fascinating. What they can't account for is the spirit in man. You can't measure that. It's called the spirit in man. So some of us, by the way, may go, I've heard things called senior moments. When you become a senior, you'll always have moments. But not like you think. So I will tell people, try to encourage you, it's not necessarily a senior moment. For you, it may be information overload. There's so much data. And you know what Christ couldn't do at the time? He used things of an agricultural society. We can kind of use some analogy now if we take certain liberties, and I like to walk carefully with that, because Christ didn't live in a time where you've got all these data things, but there are some analogies here that are profitable analogies. He's given us a brain, and the human brain starts out when a child is born, and we still don't know, by the way, there's no proof of when God gives the spirit in man. You cannot prove that. You can tell me what you feel all day. You cannot prove when God gives the spirit in man. We've talked about, is that at conception? And my conclusion was, when God wants to. I don't think he's held to a certain time he has to do that. But that was one of those things you'll never be able to figure that out. But he does give the spirit of man, and when a child is starting out, that spirit of man is totally, now it's starting to be built for information. It starts to collect information, starts to respond. It'll start to talk. It'll start to do a lot of different things, and it starts to collect a database. And you learn, and there's more storage, and you find out there's an unlimited capacity for storage because the brain works and does all these electrical impulses like the computer does, and then it places it either in a hard drive or will place it on one of these sticks or on one of these CDs. So, and the thing is, with our technology in this age, years ago we started out in trying to understand this. I remember who said it. It was Mr. Salyer. Said, the best that we can do, this was years ago, for those that remember the 8-track tapes, the big square ones, and then all of a sudden we gravitated over to the cassette tapes. At the time, cassette tapes were the thing. You remember, many of you remember or were involved maybe with the duplication of sermons in your local church area, duping those, and that's where all your information was collected on. So at the time, Mr. Sayer was talking about what happens to that spirit when someone dies, it goes to God. The best we could do it then was say it's on some kind of cassette tape and he's storing it in a storage vault wherever he might be. We have come to find out that because of the of many more people and billions that have died since then, that he was running out of room in the storage closet. And he decided to develop the CD, which can fit a lot more in his closet. And then he got to the thumb drive, and then we thought this is it. And now we find out that there is the cloud. So God has now got the cloud. It's all stored. We finally figured it out that all the storage is in the cloud where it ought to be in the first place. All knowledge is stored in a cloud, we'll say now. So again, we're using and seeing all these analogies. But for us, it's a lifetime of gaining information and experiences. And I tried this out. Because I tried this out today just in thinking. Going over the mountains allows you a lot of time just to think. It's not a whole lot of thinking you've got to do with driving except when you pass the semis. So I'm thinking, let me pull a few things out. And I went back and I remembered some specific things that took place in my life. My grandparents up in Escanaba had a hardware store. And the advertisement was, Just Ask Gus Asp, ASP. That was the man's name. That was the little insignia I always remember. The grocery store was called Mellon Elmer's until they got a big K there. And I can go down to the river and remember specific details of all those things. Or I can get up to nowadays when sometimes we're talking about music and I'll tell my wife, I know that song, but I cannot remember the artist who did it. And it's usually this one name. Now I do know it's Patti Loveless. I couldn't come up with her name. But like about 10 or 15 minutes later, all of a sudden, my electrical impulses found the file, pulled the file out, knocked on my door, and goes, "It's Patti Loveless." So I go, "Oh, now I know who it is." How does that happen? It's happened to all of us at times. We've recalled information that we couldn't remember. It's the mind that God has given to us. So when you say senior moments, hang in there and keep exercising by that. They even have mentioned that as one gets older, it's really good to be able to exercise your mind. By the way, God never says stop reading the Bible. Read the scriptures, pray, keep those things going, because sometimes the physical element can get older. Now we have other things, Alzheimer's and other things. Things are happening chemically that are taking away the body's impulse power, not the spirit in man. So some ask about that. God knows. He knows what's stored on that spirit of man. And exactly where it goes, by the way, that we can't say where it goes. That's the best that we can do with this, isn't it? Who knows what happens to the spirit that goes upward, as it's mentioned in Ecclesiastes. Who knows that? God knows that. But at this time and place, the spirit of man goes into a physical, as a thumb drive would, a spiritual thumb drive, plugs into that human brain, and now becomes a storage capacity of your decisions, of your experiences, of your character. And when the body dies and goes to dust, this goes back to God in spirit form, who made all things. We can find this, by the way, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. A wonderful scripture here that explains this. It lays it right out here for us to see and to understand. That's why, again, the people can understand the things of God except by the Spirit of God. Because there's the Spirit in man, now there's the Spirit in God. There's two different elements that are here that deal with the human function in the brain. The one is the capacity for the spirit in man, of which we're able to actually figure out things that may be inconceivable to you and I. I may not be able to, but if I did this all the time and I worked with terabits all the time, I could do it. It's like the person that says, "Can you wallpaper?" At first, I mean, I know I can do it. Don't you just put like glue on it and then lay it up there and then all that, and then you learn and you get better at doing it. And that's why this gets better, because the more that mankind uses the spirit of man that's placed into him and figure this out, he's able to do more with these things. And knowledge is increased. Some of that for the good, some of that for the not so good. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And verse 11. What man knows the things of a man except by the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except by the spirit of God. So that ought to tell you right away, unless somebody has the spirit of God, and when you have a great amount of people that don't even understand the concept of what the spirit of God, that they think it's another Godhead or another personage of the God family, then you know that that mind is not open to them. So you and I have tested this, because you and I know, and even sometimes we still may be surprised by it, of how easy that is when the explanation comes out on the nature of God. How easy it is. That's so easy to understand. Yes, because God's opened up your mind to the Spirit of God now, not just the Spirit in man. And that same spirit was acknowledged by Solomon in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 21. That's the reference scripture. Who knows the spirit of man which goes upward? And the same one, another reference scripture, in Luke 23, verse 46. Luke 23, verse 46. You don't have to turn to these. These are the references that speak of the same spirit that goes up. When Jesus had cried loud with a loud voice, he says, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And that same spirit, by the way, was reunited with a different body. The physical body, evidently, God took away, or had the angelic realm take that away, because he wasn't resurrected physically. He could manifest himself physically, as a spirit can do. That blows our mind as well. It happened back in Genesis when the angels ate, Christ himself ate the fatted calf. So there's an element there that's hard for people to comprehend and what that's like. But when Christ died, and he was dead, he ceased to exist. But the spirit went up. That's confusing to people on how that takes place. It's like, put it this way, this thing right here with any information that's stored on it, it doesn't matter. You might as well, if you're not going to have a computer to put it in, it's worthless. It's got all this information, though. But without the computer, you're not going to be able to access the information. Without the body, whether it's physical or spiritual, the information won't be able to be accessed. So there had to be a resurrection of a body, and the spirit that went to God was now placed back into that spirit body. So it went up to God for whatever he did with it, why Christ was dead, and dead, as you would say, the proverbial doornail. Because some will say he went down to preach to the spirits. No, he was dead. And this had never happened to a member of the God family before. He had always eternally existed. So that's, again, another incredible event that took place. So if he says, I commit my spirit, then it went to God. Stephen also said, Acts 7:59, as they stoned Stephen, he was calling on God, saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Why did he say, Lord Jesus, when he knew about God? Could you answer that? If you remember the account, Peter looked up in the vision. He says, I saw Christ standing, not sitting, standing at the right hand of God. That's the one he saw. That's why he communicated with him. Christ is at the right hand of the Father, so it's not like the Father wasn't in, but he was speaking specifically to the one who he saw at the time. So let's ask here today, because it's important for us to understand as we're getting older, things might be getting a little tougher, a little bit harder, but nothing like what's to come, that it's important what's placed in our information, what goes back to God. This is what we're storing. So I've used the analogy, and we'd like to use that analogy just of the CD. I sometimes listen to a station in Knoxville, and the person, the disc jockey that speaks in the morning says, this day is like a new canvas. It's like a brand new canvas. I kind of like the way he's very uplifting, saying what this day becomes is what you paint on your canvas, but the day starts new. And for us, it may be like taking one of these CDs. You get up in the morning, and you know how you insert it, and then new information goes on it. And then, of course, it only receives so much, and maybe at the end of the day, you go to bed, all this is transformed onto your hard drive. So let's use the analogy there, since we're taking some liberties here on new modern-day technology and try to relate them to the spirit of man and the capacity, what God has given to us in the mind, that each day you start out with your new CD. And so I'll make a statement here and see if we can understand this. Our CD is produced by CDs that produce your CD. Then you have to, what do you mean by that? I'll tell you. Here's the interpretation. Our CD, our compact disc, our spirit in man is produced by choices and decisions, CDs. Our CD is produced by CDs that yield CD. What are we on this earth for? What are we producing? Character. Character, we're developing character or character development. This is what we're doing. You know, and the good thing about this, I can relate and think in my mind and go back to some absolute wonderful experiences. God has given us great memories, so even though our loved ones die, isn't it great that I can have my eyes open and think about experiences with my grandparents or with my mom and dad, with my brother and sister? And of course, any sane person will normally go back and think of all the good experiences. I could probably go up and bring bad ones up, but I don't want to do that. So my mind tries to block those out and not bring up bad ones. You know what God does? God's mercy is so great. He says, your sins I will forgive, cast as far as east is from the west. And that's infinity, as far as east is from the west. And he says, I will remember them no more. That's what I like to happen. So you could actually, when your CD goes back to God, it can have all those bad experiences and bad things erased. So God receives a product that when you receive your spirit body and places the CD back in your spirit body, you're a God being. Because when you think about it, when you become like God as God, fully spirit, you can have no sin in you. That's all forgiven. How God eventually finishes up in that completed product remains to be seen in the presentation before the Father, in that resurrection and what takes place. But it's done. So before we even get to that point, though, we can talk about decisions that God and Jesus Christ made from the beginning. Even when you go back to Genesis chapter 1, it speaks about the days of creation. It speaks about a decision to make the night and the day. Day 2, the decision to make atmospheres. Day 3, the land and sea vegetation. Day 4, the time and the seasons. Day 5, the sea animals and the birds. Day 6, the animals and mankind. Day 7, the Sabbath day. And I will tell you this right now, because of the way that God works and how you can see this from beginning to end, that there was a plan and that this took time. In our concept of just saying time, I've got to say time because that's something we can grab onto. But there was an element of a time that they said, this is what we're going to do, and this is what we're going to design and make, because you just don't flap your hands and do this and a pine tree comes out. This was all designed, and that's why these days of creation took place in order the way that they did. He could have made it all at one time. Pow, pow, zap, boom, it's all there. That's not the way he works. And so we understand by that there's a plan also. We've called it a plan of salvation for all of mankind, and there's an order to everything the way he does it. Then the outcome, if you remember in Genesis 1:31, what did he say? He looked at it all and he says, this is what? Partially right. For those that said this is good, he said this is very good. All of it, he says, this is good. Takes a look at it, he goes, this is very good. Then he gave the mankind the ability to choose. How long that took place? Nobody knows. Guess at it all day. How long was he in the garden? How long did God instruct them before even Satan was allowed to come into the garden? Why did he put Satan into the garden? We just know some things that we're supposed to know. They were given free moral agency to be able to choose. Their CD was being implanted. They were writing on their CD. So why do we make bad choices? For those that thought maybe it was accurate, and if you go ahead and Google that, as far as people use 10% of their brain, this is something that propagated itself through years. There was no basis for this at all. Somebody just came up with it, thought about an idea, and then we started saying it. Somebody goes, oh, I heard that people only use 10% of their brain. Oh, okay. Then they pass it on. Oh, yeah, people only use 10% of their brain. I thought about this, and sometimes I'll actually check up on this stuff that people send me over the computer. It started years ago with the kidney thieves. Some guy was at a bar, they got him drunk, he fouled himself in a bathtub filled with ice, and the guy says, get to the doctor because we harvested your kidneys. And I thought I bought that one. Then it went to rattlesnakes and the balls at McDonald's and other things that people keep sending. And you check it up, then people would say, always check Snopes. Then you find out that Snopes isn't always right either. We're constantly looking at information, and I don't want to get to the point where in my CD is something is wrong thinking in many different ways. You've heard it. We still deal with this on a physical level. Well, don't eat eggs because that's too much cholesterol. Then later on, more information comes out. Well, just don't eat the yellow, just do the white. Then somebody else goes, no, you got to eat them together. No, they don't even... Well, now it's cholesterol's not the problem. It's the inflammation. Where's it going to go next? And what do I do with that information? What am I supposed to do with it? We're all at different venues and avenues of that. Problem is, when some of these problems that take place when we're burning this CD is, number one, got a couple points here, is lack of information. Lack of information. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 14, one that we all know. And we're constantly finding out, I just shared with you some information that I found out through a trauma, that I'm glad I found it out. If I found anyone out that's got a trauma, I know which hospital to take them to for trauma. Or maybe there's another hospital downtown Knoxville that deals with stroke. They've got the specialist there that will deal with that. And obviously, I would always say the first thing you do is you appeal and cry out to God for his healing. Proverbs 11, verse 14, where there is no counsel, the people fall, but in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. That's why people always say, you always find yourselves more than one opinion on a matter. If you're seeking to find out what may be wrong sometime in a problem, you seek out a multitude of counsel. James chapter 1, verse 5. This comes to point two, is the lack of wisdom. We also are to plant on our CDs wisdom. So one would be lack of information, or the opposite of that would be knowledge. The second would be wisdom, would be getting wisdom. Knowledge isn't always wisdom. James chapter 1, verse 5, if any of you lacks wisdom, James 1, verse 5, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without chiding, it will be given to him, but let him ask in faith with no doubting. Brethren, don't ever let these happenings that we see around us cause you to doubt at all. A lot of times we'll see some negative experiences. In fact, the floods in Denham Springs, wow, we were so close to that when we were down there in 95. Denham Springs was the place to go to live because a lot of people were getting out of the city and going to the schooling systems in Denham Springs. Sometimes private schools, it was the place to actually go. We know some people that had moved over there. For Denham Springs to get a flood, wow. And to see that news program with all that stuff on there, things happen sometimes. But for God's people, it's always purpose. There's a purpose. There are things that God allows, and sometimes he may allow a time and chance to happen to us. And then watch how we're going to deal with that. But should that cause us to doubt? Never. God's purpose will always remain, will always be fulfilled with us. For me, it's just understanding, God, what do you want me to do with this? What do you want me to learn from this? Bright-eyed as a child going up before God. I know there is a negative circumstance, but show me your purpose within this. Do you want me to do something? Is it just maybe just pray? Is that all you've given me to do? Maybe that's enough. Maybe that's all he wants. But to not never, ever doubt God. Asking always for wisdom. The third point, this is what happens sometimes within the mind as we go, why did you do that? Why did that happen? Sometimes it might be I wasn't thinking. Did you ever say that? I just wasn't thinking. If anything, I'll give maybe score a couple of points here. But my wife has always told me, lock the door in your car. Lock it. And I'm thinking, wow, I live in a really safe neighborhood. Now that a car got stolen right from in front of my house, I don't necessarily feel that way. Do I think that God's protection isn't there? No. But maybe there was a reason there in saying, wherever you are, lock your door. And always trust and pray to God for his safety and protection. Don't just leave your wallet out or your purse. Be careful as we live. We have to think every day in order to make good decisions. The only thing that we don't have to conscientiously think about is breathing. Thank God he did that for us. Well, how come they're dead? They stopped breathing. They weren't thinking. Maybe God knew that we would just wouldn't be thinking. So think. Philippians 4, verse 8, look what it says, think about. Again, these scriptures I'm pointing out are ones that you've seen, gone over these many times. Philippians 4, verse 8, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, noble, honest, honorable, that's why it's hard to watch TV nowadays. You don't find true things. You don't find noble things. You don't find honest. You don't find honorable things on TV. So our minds have got to be going other places to where things are upbeat and honorable and just, and limit ourselves on those other things and use the mind that God's given to us. I've seen some studies that say exercise your mind. People that do crossword puzzles in their older age are stimulating their minds. I haven't done them in a while, but I used to like some of the crosswords because it stimulated your mind to go, they've got something there, but it's not really the word that you would think they'd be looking for. And your mind's it's going like that to think of that. My wife would go, how did you come up with that? I'm going, my mind is geared to look for what they're not telling you. Or Sudoku, the numbers game, or other things that stimulate the mind. That's good. And, of course, reading the Word of God. Do you remember if you can pull out the old file here, your elementary school file. Can you pull that one out for a minute? As we had talked about this man that talks about the marriage, the difference between a man and a woman, the man's got to do that. We can only do one file at a time. The women have like 10 files out at one time. And so they can do that. And so we got to go, wait a second, I got to put the other file back first. Now let me pull out my elementary school file. And I go back and I remember the days, I remember some, you know, if I think about it more, I'll think about more things. I don't know when it exactly happened, but I remember the days of reading. Do you remember the first things that you read were about what characters? Dick and Jane. Who was the dog? Spot. Wow, that was a long time ago. Way to go. Your files are working. Dick and Jane and Spot, and they had Think and Do workbooks. Think and Do. Good topic for those, Think and Do. You had to read, think, and then do with the instructions. You were teaching as far as following instructions. And then later on, when you become a teen, you get into the mode where I wasn't thinking. I heard it said, but I wasn't thinking. Why in the world you? I don't know, I just wasn't thinking. Well, it's a good God cause you to breathe, because you'd be dead right now. Fourth point there's a Beatles tune called Please, Please Me. People think of pleasing themselves all the time, don't they? New toy or new gizmo for Sega or whatever it is that comes out, people are lining up on Walmart to get it. The next thing to please me. Thinking too much of ourselves. This can include selfishness, greed, and vanity. And it's so pleasing to God, I believe, so pleasing, when things of that nature come out, whether you're praying for the camp program and for us to be able to get, okay, I tell you what, the ones that are looking for that are so grateful for the prayers that he's opened up the doors for us to get nice camps. We don't ever take that for granted. For people that are sick, for people that have received cards, for people that are asking our headquarters, do they need money? And the headquarters is going, not, we're okay right now. Wow, nice job, brethren. What a wonderful give attitude that we've got right now enough to support the people that are in need. What a giving, generous attitude that people have on their CD. What can I do? How can I help? Philippians 2 speaks of that. Philippians 2, verse 2 through 5 says, "Fulfill you my joy, being like-minded, having the same love, of being one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind and humility, let each esteem the others better than themselves. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, which we have to do, but also for the interests in others." There's a camp theme at Heritage in 2005 that says, "It's not about me." And today, to this day, we teach our children as they go through the camp process that as campers, they receive a lot of kind of neat things and a lot of neat activities that they can do. But at a young age, we teach them early. One of the things that one of the directors of the YWCO facility, which is the reason we got to go the next 3 years and others didn't, is when our kids finished their meals, they all brought up their own plates and trays. And then the counselors were teaching them, okay, you've got yours, now let's start helping out others too. You go over to the other tables and help out some of the others and go get the rags and you wipe off the tables. It wasn't just about them. We did that with food, and it was noticed at a young age to when they get to graduating from the teen camp program that now they're trained to become staff because they're already in the mode of serving. And then from that, they gravitate into the church, and it's a natural to them. It becomes natural. It's burned into their CD. Serve, serve. What can I do to help? What can I do to serve? And also it's a lowliness of mind, because in serving, you realize I may have the capability to do this, but it doesn't mean I'm better than anybody else. I can sit down like anyone else does. That's why I'm saying even with the knowledge that we have comparative to the world, it doesn't mean that we're better. God looks on us as ones that he's using to better others in the future. We're to better ourselves now, taking into account everyone else that we're growing with as well. The fifth one is we're too busy. This can be dangerous because it can throw out our priorities. We become too busy for God, too busy for our mates, too busy for our children. And this element can contain elements of previous 4 points. We can go, I'm not taking care of myself. No one's ever looking into me. God can take care of that. Let's not be ever too busy. As we go back to the scripture, Matthew 6:33, seek you first. It becomes a priority concept. By the way, everyone that's heard this, we know this. And we just have to regear and burn that new CD for the day. If you didn't do it yesterday, erase and start out the new CD. That it becomes something that we do on a natural basis. There's no question that God's going to come first in our lives. You know, it says in that Daniel 12, verse 4, many will run to and fro, and knowledge will be increased. People are just too busy for anything nowadays. I've set examples of that before, and even to sit down together for a meal. It becomes a fast food society. Fast everything, and the fast is killing people. The highest killer is the stress because everything's going too fast, and it causes you sometimes, and I, to take time to reach into our file and remember even, what was I doing? What was I thinking? Slow down. Life's going to go on. But for each of us, it's a different challenge. The last one is, I just don't care, and this is so dangerous. See, people may come to the point where so much happens in your life, you just get to the point when Satan loves this one. You just don't, I got him. He goes, I got him. They just don't care anymore. We should always care. You know what's happened to this country? You ever watch the newscasts that come out? Do you ever get to the point, I'm done with it. I just don't care. Don't let that happen to you. You can still care for your country. You can still care enough to go, God, please be merciful. There are some good elements in this country. There are still people that, even not having the Spirit of God, are still, maybe because the way that they were raised, there are good elements in them that they want to do. You know, I noticed occasionally if I'm going to get a chicken sandwich or something, I'll go to a Chick-fil-A, and I don't know what they do, something to their employees that they're very respectful. And I've not seen one yet that's just, they're very respectful. And he even keeps a day to God. It's not the right one, as we know. But there are people that shut down in order to give that time the best to their best of their ability. I said, God, please remember, as maybe Abraham did with Lot, perhaps there are 10 people that are righteous. Will you prevent it from being destroyed? That we can ask God, please be merciful to our country. We know this has to come. But it gives you the caring and considerate heart that's built onto your CD, that you'll never get to the point where you just have fed up and you throw it away and I'm done with it. Then Satan has won. Don't ever not care. Matthew 24, verse 12, the last scripture here today, because there's a lot of great examples throughout the Bible that we can do when we're in situations. Whether it's David, Hezekiah, all those that turned around in their life, they made bad decisions that they could have said, what was I thinking? Or they got to the point where they just didn't care. Saul gets to the point, just doesn't care anymore. And he thinks about himself. Matthew 24, verse 12, like Daniel, also the time of the end, many will be offended. Many will betray one another, and many will hate one another. And you can see this in our very eyes with people just killing one another at whims. The hatred. Many false prophets will arise and deceive many. Wow, you can see that more and more if you go to the internet and TV stations and the itching ear syndrome that even our God's people get caught away with at times. Read the scriptures to see what they say. Not heaping up for yourselves teachers having itching ears. Look at the scriptures and have your communication with God strong that you can use the spirit that he's given to you. And not dictionaries and concordances of what other people have to say about what the Bible says. Because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will wax cold. You know, there might be other elements of that that keep us from taking this wonderful, beautiful mind that God has given to us. It's so precious to God that when you take your last breath, there's something about you that still survives. That's hard for humanity and sometimes for God's people to understand because we don't grab that spiritual element. I only say it because that's what the Bible says. Since that's what God says, I believe it. I believe that when somebody takes their last breath, I've seen the examples that spirit returns to God. And you can talk about all day how he does it, how he performs that. I know he created this earth from nothing. So he's easily able to take something spirit and for you to retain your identity. From that point, we talk about a lot how it will be and how you will look, and that's fun. Because however I can think, it's going to be so much better than that, that when you receive that back into your spirit body again, I think about the people that hurt now and the people that are going to be doing backflips. I can't wait to see Janice doing a backflip. I know it'll be done. Who wouldn't want to do a backflip? You know, when you do your brand, because I watch the gymnastics. I see them, they'll go, wow, I'd love to do that. How wonderful it is to experience what we're going to be experiencing. In the meantime, with what God's given to us, make sure we value that element of what we put into our minds. Taking care of our physical body, sure, that affects when this goes in, how we react to it. The value what God's given to us in the spirit of man and continue to build the character that he wants us to build till we become part of that God family.